modern missionaries. Sometimes as modern missionaries, we are sent across the world to partner with God, and other times we're sent simply across the street to be modern missionaries. And so today what we're going to look at is ministry with as opposed to ministry to. In this missionary journey, as we think about ourselves as missionaries, we started out speaking about Luke chapter 4. The first week we were talking about being modern missionaries. And Jesus said he came to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free. And if that was Jesus' mission, then we as modern missionaries have that mission as well. And last week we looked at the prophet Micah and how Micah calls us to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. And then today, as we look at becoming modern missionaries, we will look at what it means to shift from ministry to, and almost separated from, to ministry with. We're going to start by looking at the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter is one of my favorite disciples because he had a way of so often following intimately with Jesus and then other times just falling flat on his face. And so that gives me some hope as I look at his life. But Peter seemed to be pretty in step with what Jesus was doing quite often. And there were times where when Jesus said, Who do you say that I am? And Peter is the one that said, "You are the Christ, you are the Lord." I mean, Peter seemed to be moving and watching Jesus' ministry and then following right in line. When we study the Gospels, what we see is that the Gospels are the story of Jesus. And then Acts is the story of the early church. And Peter is a key player in the movement of the early church. And Peter is the one who kind of starts out by preaching the big message at Pentecost. And thousands of people learn who Jesus is because of Peter. Peter's going and leading the church in this its early stages. And so we can look at the Apostle Peter and see even how he shifts from ministry to ministry with. See, Peter's mindset initially, the good news of Jesus was just for the Jews. Jesus himself was Jewish, and the disciples were Jewish. And so the way that they experienced God working was among the Jewish people. The Jewish people would be gathered, and then at times Peter would share about Jesus, and the groups of Jewish people would say, "Okay, I want to be a follower of Christ." But there were other groups of people called the Gentiles, and these were people who weren't Jewish. And Peter hadn't yet seen God working in or among them. They were kind of a separate group, and oftentimes the Jewish laws and customs kept them from interacting with one another. And so in their mind, the good news of Jesus was really just about the Jews. But we see this shift happening in Acts chapter 10. We should be anticipating it by the time we get to Acts chapter 10, because there were two places where the resurrected Christ told Peter and the other disciples, "Hey, this message is not just for you, it's going to extend to the nations." We see it in the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus says, "Go therefore to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And then we see it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus says, "You're going to be my witnesses to in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth." See, Jesus is telling them this message is going to spread, but initially, it starts with a small group of folks and then starts spreading outwards. And Peter has a shifting in his mind when we get to Acts chapter 10. And so if you brought your Bible today, I invite you to open to Acts chapter 10 because we're going to be reading through a lot of it. Or you can look in your pew Bible, or if you've got the Bible app on your phone, I invite you to turn to that. But when we get to Acts chapter 10, we come across a character named Cornelius. And he's a centurion in the Italian cohort. It says he's pious, he's extremely religious, but he's a Gentile. And he's a Gentile, and he gives and serves the Jewish people, but he's kind of still separated from them. But he's got this powerful faith, and in his prayer time, this vision comes to him, and he's told, "Hey, go send for Simon Peter to come and talk with you." And so he has this vision saying, "Well, I've got to send for Simon Peter." And so he sends a couple of his servants to go to Peter's house, to go meet with Peter. And then we continue through Acts chapter 10. And then we find that Peter is praying. Peter is praying. It's about lunchtime. The other folks are getting food ready. He's up praying on the roof. And Peter has this vision. And some of us have heard this story before. And this story in many ways is great because it allows us to eat pulled pork sandwiches. Because it shifts from saying like, hey, we can eat all of these things that the Levitical laws said were unclean. But Peter's praying, and he has this vision of the sheet that's lifted down. And in this sheet, there's all different types of animals, birds, and reptiles. And then God says, Peter, get up, kill, and eat. I mean, he's basically given permission for all of these to eat all these animals. But listen to what Peter says in verse 14. It says, Peter exclaimed, absolutely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke a second time. Never consider unclean what God has made pure. This happened three times, then the object was suddenly pulled back into heaven. See what happens here? Like Peter has this revelation. He's initially like, I can't do this. And God says, don't call anything I've made clean. Anything I've made, don't call it unclean. And listen in verse 19. He says, while Peter was brooding over the vision. I think the word brooding here is interesting. So clearly if he had had a pulled pork sandwich before, he would be like celebrating this vision. But instead he's just brooding over it. Like, I've been told that I can't have these sandwiches. I've been told that I should be this way. And then all of a sudden there's this shift. And he's kind of brooding over it. But it says, as he was brooding over the vision, the Spirit interrupted him. Look, three people are looking for you. Go downstairs. Don't ask questions. Just go with them because I have sent them. And then it says, so Peter went downstairs and told them, I'm the one you are looking for. Why have you come? Like, Peter falls on his face here, right? Like, the vision says, don't ask questions. And just in the process of walking downstairs, Peter forgets. And he said, what are y'all doing here? Peter's like that, right? He goes kind of back and forth, back and forth. But these servants who have come explain to him, hey, Cornelius told us to come. And we're supposed to get you, and you're going to go talk with him. And so they explain, they stay as guests overnight, and then they head to Caesarea the next day. And what happens in Caesarea is that Cornelius has gathered all of his friends and all of his relatives. They're all gathered around, and they're waiting for Peter to show up. And Peter shows up, he steps into the scene, and Cornelius runs out and starts like worshiping him. And Peter's like, no, I'm not a god. I'm human, I'm just like you. But Cornelius is so excited that he's come and shown up. But I think in the process of saying like, don't worship me, I'm not a god, don't you think Peter's head kind of gets a little puffed up? Right? Like, he's walking into this situation to do ministry too. He is the expert here. He's walked alongside Christ for 3 years. He's seen the resurrected Christ. He's preached these sermons to bring thousands of people to Jesus. And it's just another day of good ministry for him, right? So Peter walks into this situation ready to do ministry too. But then this shifting happens. So he says to them, you realize that it is forbidden for a Jew to associate or visit with outsiders. However, God has shown me that I should never call a person impure or unclean. For this reason, when you sent me, I came without objection. I want to know then why you sent me. So this shifting starts happening. He recognizes that he's not really supposed to be with these Gentiles. All their laws, all their customs will separate them. He kind of acknowledges that. And I think even in doing that, it's a little like, I'm not supposed to be here, but I'm here, you're lucky. But watch this shift change. Then Cornelius answered, 4 days ago at the same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was praying at home. Suddenly a man in radiant clothing stood before me. He said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers and your compassionate acts are like a memorial offering to him. Therefore send someone to Joppa to summon Simon, who is known as Peter. He is the guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, located near the seacoast. I sent for you right away, and you were kind enough to come. Now here we are, gathered in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has directed you to say. See, all of a sudden, Peter, who knows God and knows how God moves and interacts, steps into the scene to find out that God has already been there. God's already been at work. God has been in the life of Cornelius and all these other people, and Peter's kind of stunned. He's not just bringing God to these folks, because God's already been there. And then he has these words that I think are some of the most important words that we find in the Gospel of Acts, because it shows that Peter can still keep learning. Peter says, "I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him." This is the message of peace he sent to the Israelites by proclaiming the good news through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Peter really is learning. Peter, who should know most of the answers, Peter, who has the greatest amount of experience, is continually learning how God is moving. And his mind is being opened up. But so while he is there, he shares this. And then he says, hey, this is the story of Jesus. Peter came to share his experiences of how Jesus lived, died, and rose again. And in the process of sharing this, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes and moves through all the Gentiles that were there. And so they start seeing the Holy Spirit moving in all these people that were initially kind of excluded from God's movement. And then Peter says, well, if God's moving in here, if the Holy Spirit is here, let's do some baptisms. And some folks are baptized that day. Cornelius and his household and all who had gathered experienced God's full love and grace in those moments. And it says in the midst of this that the other believers who had gone with Peter were surprised. It says they were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even the Gentiles. They didn't expect that to happen. They expected to come in and maybe teach to them, but what they found is that they were doing ministry with them. The Apostle Peter continued to learn and to grow. And so for us, I wonder what that means if we are going to be doing ministry with instead of ministry to. So often when we step foot into places of ministry, what we find is that we sometimes have a tendency to go, I'm up here, I've got this knowledge, I've got this understanding, this background. And then there's some people over here and they don't really get it. So I'm going to come swoop in and I'm going to do ministry to them. But I wonder if we could acknowledge that ministry with means that we have our gifts and graces and other people have their gifts and graces. And then when we get together to partner, what we find is that we're doing ministry with these other folks. And ministry with other people might mean, like we said, being a modern missionary. It might mean going overseas. It might mean going across the country. It might mean walking across the street and getting to know a neighbor. It might mean connecting with some of your coworkers that you haven't really ever had in-depth conversations with before. Being a modern missionary means teaming up with what God is doing in all of these other ways, but recognizing it's not ministry to, but it's ministry with. So if we make that shift, I think there's several points we need to lean into. And the first is that we must follow the Spirit. Following the Spirit is the first part of doing ministry with instead of to. Peter was following the Spirit. If Peter hadn't been praying, hadn't taken that time to be away from everybody else, y'all, we wouldn't be eating pork. Right? Like Peter has this vision that connects with the Holy Spirit, but more importantly, what we discover through this is that the Spirit says, Peter, go. And so sometimes when we're in times of prayer, when we're following the Spirit, we might hear the Spirit say, go. I want you to go here. I want you to go there. And sometimes what we notice is that on our daily routine, those people that we see and often pass by, the Holy Spirit will start nudging us and saying, talk to them. Build a relationship with them. The Holy Spirit is sending us. And so we have to be in step with the Spirit and be in prayer. The next part of this is to accept the invite. Accept the invite. And Peter, what we find is that he's praying and he gets invited into this different space. Right? The laws and the customs told him not to go there. But he gets invited and he goes. He follows the Spirit and enters into a place that's uncomfortable for him. See, what we've done sometimes is in the church is we have a theology of hosting oftentimes. We put up buildings and we say, we hope you come into our buildings. We're good at being gracious hosts. And it's good to invite and it's good to host. But we also need to have a theology of guesting, of being invited into other places. And so the Apostle Peter was invited into this new space where he wasn't really supposed to be. And he went. I wonder if you might form relationships with other people that you wouldn't be with on a normal basis. And maybe you can be a little less cocky when you enter the spaces. You don't have to walk in like Peter did and say, I'm not supposed to be here, but I showed up. But I wonder if you might go into those places, build relationships with folks so that you get invited into spaces and places where you normally wouldn't go. And so you accept the invite. That's part of this. And then the next piece of it is be a learner. What if we can all be lifelong learners and learning how God is moving? Most of us have one expression or understanding of how God works and moves, right? We all have that. We all have our own upbringing and we say we've experienced God in this way. But Peter was a learner. He said, I'm going to see if God can move in these other places. So as we are invited into other spaces, what we might do is have a posture of learning and saying, God, I don't know how you're going to move through these people, but I'm open to seeing it. Because my guess is for each and every one of us, there's a person or a group of people that we can think of, and we think God's not working through them. Now, you don't have to name it, but the reality is that for each of us, there's a group of people that we go, I don't know if God's love really gets to them. I don't know if God's really up to something with this group of people. But the challenge, though, is to be invited into that space and to be a learner. And so I wonder for each and every one of us if we might be learners. If we find ourselves more theologically progressive, be invited into some more conservative spaces and see how God might be moving in and through those people. If we find ourselves more theologically conservative, get invited to some spaces that are a little more progressive. And see God, how God is moving in and through those people. We might do this theologically. We might do it politically, ethnically, rich, poor. What if we get out of our boxes and then venture into new spaces so we can see what God is up to with some people that we wouldn't expect? When we do that, we have our own conversion experience. We start seeing that God is bigger than we initially thought. We start seeing that God is moving outside of our normal realm, and we see that God is pretty magnificent. Then we start partnering with God. That's the next piece of this. We don't just show up into these spaces and just learn, but we start saying, all right, this is how God is moving here, and these are the gifts and graces they are bringing, and these are the gifts and graces I'm bringing, and we put them together. See, the Apostle Paul, or Peter, when he stepped into that space, he came to share the good information, the good news that he had with them. He was sharing what he could share, and those who had gathered shared what they could share. So we start partnering with the work of God. And then the final part of this is that we have to share our story. We've got to share our story. When Peter ventured back, what we find happens, Peter goes and he gets with the other, when he goes and returns home, he goes and says, guys, guess what? We just baptized all these Gentile people. And they were like, what? Like, seriously? No, you can't baptize Gentiles. And Peter could have said, yeah, that was probably a fluke. God's probably not really up to anything over there. But Peter didn't. Peter said, you know what? No, God is moving in this group of people. God is moving in this space. And we have to be open to this. And so Peter is able to go back into his normal circle and say, God is bigger than we once thought. And so I wonder, for us, if we might get invited into other spaces, be learners, and see how God is moving. And as we experience what God is up to, when we go back to our normal circles, our family groups or our friend groups, inevitably, somebody in our normal circle is going to go, you know that group of people over there? Now God's not doing anything. And then you'll be able to say, no, I've got some good news for you. I've witnessed this. I've seen this. God is at work in these people, and we can share what God is up to. And we'll be able to share that same testimony that Peter had and say, I'm still learning, but we believe that Christ has come for all people. Let's pray. Holy God, we pray that we might be open to your Holy Spirit moving us, that we might find those places where you are calling us, and that we might be invited, God, to build those relationships with other people. We pray that you open our hearts and minds. And then as we experience you moving, we pray that we might share the story of your goodness. God, help us along this journey.